Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 111, The Desolation of Smaug. So, for this week's episode, I thought I'd do the sequel to The Hobbit movie, the second one in the trilogy of movies, and go through it. Pretty good movie overall, not too much to go through, but it was set in three nice parts, so that's kind of how I got my insights for this week. So I will jump into it. Overall, generally well received by critics. I liked it pretty well as well. There was one big issue that kind of confused me as well, so I'll cover that as well as in my movie overview. So with that, I'll jump right into it. The movie released in the United States on December 13th, 2013, with the tagline, "Beyond darkness, beyond desolation, lies the greatest danger of all." A brief synopsis of the movie is, the dwarves, along with Bilbo Baggins and Gandalf the Grey, continue their quest to reclaim Erebor, their homeland, from Smaug. Bilbo Baggins is in possession of a mysterious and magical ring. So, pretty much covers the overview of what the movie's about. We know what the who Smaug is and what the dangerous mission is and all of that stuff, what the darkness is. The desolation is kind of filled in throughout the movie for why the dwarves feel desolate and what the problems arising from their mission is. So overall, pretty well done there as well. So as always, I'll have a link to the IMDb and Wikipedia pages for the movie. The movie on Rotten Tomatoes received a score of 74%, so better than average. I liked it a little bit more than that, but probably on par with what the movies are, or how good the movies are. I guess it has to be your kind of cup of tea to enjoy it more, I guess, but overall pretty well done, I think. I vaguely remember the book, so I'll say it's good, but I can't say definitively just because it's been some years since I have read the books to begin with. So with that, I'll jump into my insight for this week. So to start it off, that's no bear, that's an orc Wookiee. So the kind of first third of the movie is a lot of traveling. We start off in the movie with Bilbo hiding from some of the orcs and a close run-in with what to me looked like a Wookiee, but was actually more of a bear, and how the dwarves, Gandalf and Bilbo, are trying to hide from the orcs and escape from the mountain. We are actually starting off from where we left off in The Hobbit, where they're at the top of the mountain peak after riding on the eagles. So it kind of threw me off a little bit, because I had actually wondered if the movie had started or not, and it took me a moment to remember that this is where we had left off before and the orcs had actually caught up to them. So kind of time frame for where we're starting. And then there's a lot of traveling going on throughout the movie, but the first third is this traveling to get closer to their goal and to reclaim the Lonely Mountain. But throughout the adventures, much like the first Hobbit movie, where we had Radagast the Brown, I believe it is, on his dog sled or wolf sled, something along those lines. In this particular movie, we had Donkey Kong Country. So we had the elves escaping from the elf city. I forgot what the name of the city is, but in their escape, they hide in a bunch of barrels as part of Bilbo's planning, and they're going down the river fighting the orcs. And overall, it was a pretty good scene. I actually liked it a lot more than the dog sled scene from the first movie, because it seemed less green screened. I don't know what bothered. I think that was the biggest problem I had with the Hobbit movie, was that dog sled scene was the one movie that seemed completely out of place compared to the rest of the movie. The rest of the movie actually worked out nicely, except that scene where it didn't exactly. I know they're trying to show the speed of it and less green screen, but it was the one part that kind of bugged me, because I was like, Tim, that obviously looks fake as opposed to the entire. I mean, knowing the whole movie is science fiction and fantasy, but that took me out. In this particular scene, I think they kind of took care of that to the point where it was a lot more motion, so, or a lot more rotating motion, so it kind of covered any green screen residual effects that would take you, or at least it didn't take me out of the movie. I actually enjoyed that whole action sequence. So to round it out, encasing one in gold only works when the subject is weaker than gold. So we have the second big scene where we have Bilbo and the dwarves fighting the dragon, and they're trying to encompass it in gold to try and prevent it from escaping and doing more damage and to essentially take it out of the action. But this actually kind of called me back to Game of Thrones. I believe it was season one where we have Daenerys' brother being encased, or his head being encased in gold and being taken out of the picture and essentially being killed off. And I figure that encasing a person or another living being in gold, that's kind of how I got the weaker than gold thought process, where the dragon is actually a lot stronger than the dwarves and Bilbo think, so it's not going to be that easy to take it out of the picture. So it's kind of my compare and contrast for how gold is used in these two scenarios to kind of hold someone or some living being back through the toughness of gold. And in one case it worked, in the other case it didn't. So kind of comparison and kind of where my mind went when they tried to do this. I actually kind of didn't see that coming, because I didn't remember that from the book. And when I saw that, I was thinking that, well, that's not going to work. The dragon's too strong for that. And that's exactly what happened, especially since the dragon can breathe fire and essentially remelt the gold and escape anyways. So just a weird oddity as to the logistics of that particular plan. But that's all there is for that. So I summarize the movie as Scrooge McDuck may have been a better guy to get the Arkenstone. And this thought process was mostly just that when we are in the Lonely Mountain and we have all these piles and mounds and hills and basically hills and mountains of gold coins, who better to navigate that than Scrooge McDuck, who has his vault of gold and who can swim through it and get around it quickly and with ease. So maybe they should have picked someone who is someone who can do that more. I obviously know that that's something that can't happen, but while Bilbo was able to get it, he's more of the at least in this movie, he seemed not to have that desire to get it as fast as possible. And I guess they were clouding his mind with Thorin not doing the hard work for himself, but in this case he didn't seem like he was up to the task of getting it, even though he was close. But he ended up spending more time escaping and trying to be the thief rather than sticking to the goal at hand. So I give the movie a real score of a 90%. So I did overall, for the most part, enjoy it. The acting was done really well. I could actually see the difficulties that Thorin and the other dwarves were having with the mission the Tola was taking and the troubles they had when they were interacting with the various other races, in this case mainly the elves and the humans. So the definite positives, though, were that I did like the animations that they used in Smaug. I would have thought that this was a place where it could have fallen apart, especially in the enclosed area of the mountain and with all the gold, but they actually found it done really well. The dragon, in my mind, though, did have a kind of weirdly shaped jaw, which kind of bothered me, but overall, the animations and the work that they did to bring him to life was done well. And it was good progress on the part of the dwarves, especially the transitions from their journey in the mountains to the elf city, the barrel escape through down the river to the mountain. So overall, I actually liked how they did that. I didn't find myself wondering too much exactly where we were in the story. They spent enough time in all the scenes to cover exactly what was going on. The only negative I had in the movie, though, was that it seemed like in every other scene, and they did actually bring it up, but it seemed like Gandalf actually had other places to be in every scene so that he would help them, the dwarves, get somewhere, and then realize he had to go to the place of darkness, and then to the place of darkness he realized he had to, when he was there with Radagast, he realized he had to be somewhere else, or, and he needed Radagast to escape to let other people know about what was going on. So, and then just throughout the movie, it seemed like everyone just needed to be always on the move at all times. There was very little time spent with planning, so that kind of bugged me. I know that they were on always trying to move to escape the orcs, but it just seemed like, let's get from here to somewhere else rather than let's find a better place to be where we can protect ourselves. So that's really all there is for this particular episode, though. I do recommend watching the movie, especially since we have the battle for the five armies coming up soon. So definitely recommend watching it. It is a good, fun movie. Definitely watch the first one so you can continue in the storyline. So that is all for that, but if you have any questions, comments, concerns, insights of your own, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find this show and more shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.com. And of course, if you want to support the show and the network, help us get new shows, remove ads in the shows and on the site, and all that stuff, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/geekio. And of course, if you want to check out the ebooks or Real Insights Year 1 and 2, visit author.patelm01.com. Thank you guys in advance for those of you who have already purchased ebooks. And for those of you who recommend it to your friends and family as well. And of course, if you want to get the best possible quality sound when you are, let's say, watching your movies, be it through iTunes, Google Play Movies, Amazon, wherever, be sure to visit our friends over at Tweaked Audio. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors, so they'll have a style that matches your device or your style, whatever color you want. Their headphones are also noise reducing, so you hear more of what you're listening to and less of the outside world. So if you're trying to listen to something at the gyms, zone out at work, listen to stuff on your, let's say you go for walks and you listen there, or if you're at the work, all of those places, they sound great and you hear less of the outside world. They have microphone and non-microphone versions, so if you need a headset that where you can talk on the phone or do voice search and all that stuff, they work nicely for that as well. So be sure to visit geek-io.com/tweaked, and be sure to use the promo code geek at checkout, that's GEEK, to get an extra 1/3 off your order and show your support for the show and the network. That's geek-io.com/tweaked and the promo code geek at checkout. We thank them for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. But that is all for this particular episode of Real Insight. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.